Last week, I spent some time reflecting with you on what it would look like for you and I to take time to raise the bar of our life at the beginning of this 2015. And I would invite you to turn to the blue insert in your bulletin, take that out for a moment. You'll notice on one side of it, it's entitled at the top, Take Time to Raise the Bar. And I just took some time to reflect actually in the book of Proverbs over this past week and invite you to take some time to reflect on this with me. This is just one of the ways in which you and I can reflect on the book of Proverbs at the beginning of this year and look at it in relationship to our lives. As you know, the vision of St. John's is to embrace God, love our neighbor, and serve the world. So I kind of broke it down that way. First of all, embracing God, trust in the Lord with all your heart and incline not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, just one of my most favorite verses in the whole of Scripture. And so it's a great scriptural way for you and I to begin to build that foundation of embracing God in our life more deeply and trusting in him and following him. Secondly, love your neighbor. The house of the righteous contains great treasure, but the income of the wicked brings them trouble. You remember last week I reflected with you on the reality of how our life can be like a house that the Lord desires to fill with rare and beautiful treasures. Below that, Proverbs 14:30 reads, A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Love Proverbs. It's just straight to the point, very simple, not complicated. So again, one of the treasures I believe that God desires to give you and me, especially in this present day that we live, is his gift of peace. You know, it's such an incredible treasure that we can have with the peace of the Lord in the midst of all that's going on. And that peace can be a great blessing to ourselves and our neighbors as well. Finally, serve the world, Proverbs 19:17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Did you realize that when you're kind to the poor, you're actually making a loan to the Lord? I thought that was pretty awesome. I never thought of myself as doing that, but that's kind of a great position to be in. And the Lord says he will reward us for what we have done. And then finally, what I'll be sharing with you about today, take time to nourish your body. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. Then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Again, Proverbs 3:21 and on. Just a great verse of promise for you and me. Again, very timely subjects given what we're going through today, the issue of fear and the issue of being able to even sleep at night and rest in the midst of that, which I'm going to touch on during my message. So I invite you to take this with you, put it in your Bible, your devotional, alongside your fridge, something you might look at in this coming year as some of the promises that God has for you and me as we follow him. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a good night's sleep? Sure, all of us have, yeah. A lot of smiles, a lot of warm memories of that, huh? It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to have a great night's sleep. It's a tonic for life. You wake up refreshed and ready to go. I don't know if you knew this or not, but there's actually a chemical that induces sleep for all human beings. Let me see if I can say this. It's hard. Myrmel dipeptide, or MDP, is what it's called. It actually stimulates cells that fight diseases, bacteria, and infections. And it actually helps people recover from illness. And so the next time that you hear advice to you, if you're sick, to make sure that you get some rest, there's a reason for that. It's actually your rest, for us, is healing. If we're able to enter into the deepest part of sleep, which is REM sleep, blood flow actually decreases to your brain, and it increases to the muscles, allowing the mind and the brain to rest during that time while promoting muscle healing and restoration. It helps you to solve problems creatively because during REM sleep, the brain begins to form what are called associative networks. Researchers believe this because neurotransmitters are affected during sleep in your brain. So when you're dreaming, or when you wake up with intuitive insights in the morning, that's what's going on. Those are some of the ways in which these solutions are communicated to you. So again, if you thought your dreams were simply the result of eating something late at night that you shouldn't have, that might be part of the reason, but probably not. It's probably your brain and all of your body at work coming up with solutions, even while you sleep, for the waking hours of your life. A good night's rest actually prepares us for being awake. It gives us better judgment. It results in alertness and being calm. So if you want to live with vitality, I encourage all of us to sleep well and to sleep long and to enjoy that as well. Very important. And so I want to share with you a story about someone who was one of the great prophets of God, a person that all of you know about and have heard about before, by the name of Elijah. Elijah was an incredible servant of God who, for the most part, had an incredible life, but with the story I'm going to share with you right now, was going through a particularly troubling time in his life. And what happened was Elijah had been called by God to face down the prophets of Baal in the nations of Israel and to confront them. He did that. God blessed him for doing that. The story is in 1 Kings 19. If you ever want to read through it, 1 Kings 19 up through about 21 or 22. And so he confronted them. God gave him a great victory. He actually called down fire from heaven upon the offering of the Lord upon the altar, and it was all consumed. All of the prophets of Baal were destroyed. It was an incredible day in Elijah's life. It was an incredible victory in his own personal spiritual journey and an incredible victory for God on behalf of his people Israel. The people of Israel in that moment had been delivered from a great idolatry. But then there was a woman who heard about this by the name of Jezebel. I'm sure you've heard that name too. Jezebel had actually been the one who had brought the prophets of Baal into Israel and had encouraged this idol worship. And when she heard of what Elijah had done, she sent a message to him and said to him, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if I do not kill you by tomorrow." Not a very nice thing to say to anybody. But that's just how she was, and that's how upset she was. Well, when Elijah got this message, he became incredibly afraid. It chilled him to the bone. And so what happened is, out of his fear, Elijah began to run. He actually ran into the desert because he was afraid for his life. Now, one of the questions I ask as I read this story is, why would Elijah do that? He had just defeated all of these prophets. God had just given him this incredible miracle, this deliverance. Why would he run away from this one woman's threat? And all I can say to you is, for some reason, he was deeply afraid. It affected his spirit. There was a power there that just grabbed a hold of him and caused him to be afraid. It's the only thing that makes sense. And so he ran for his life. As Elijah is running out into the desert, away from Israel, away from Jezebel so that he could preserve his life, when he gets out into the middle of the desert, he's exhausted. He's tired. He's worn out. And he begins to pray. And he prays a very simple prayer. He begins to pray for death. Have you ever been there before in your own life where things have just gotten so rough and so out of kilter and so at the end of your rope that you've just prayed for death? That's where Elijah was. He was exhausted and discouraged. He had had enough of life, and then he goes to sleep. He's just worn out. A little bit later in the story, an angel of the Lord comes to him and wakes him up and begins to minister to him. And it's interesting to me what the angel doesn't do. The angel doesn't have some kind of special staff that he touches Elijah with, and all of a sudden Elijah is re-empowered and everything's okay. It's the angel doesn't have a prayer with him or something like that, although that would have been entirely appropriate for an angel to do with somebody at this point. But rather, the angel does something that any good Italian would have done. Listen to me for a moment. In this story, what the angel does is serve Elijah a meal. He gives him some hot bread. He gives him some water. I thought, you know, there's no salad in here, but you can give him that as well, right? Hot bread and water, and he encourages him to eat, to manja. And he does. and then he goes back to sleep. A little bit later on in the story, the angel awakens him again. And like a good Italian, he encourages him to have a second helping. There's some more hot bread and some more revitalizing water. And Elijah eats and drinks that as well. And then he goes back to sleep again. It says that Elijah is so strengthened by God's provision through this angel that he travels 40 days and nights to the mountain of God. Now, one of the important things that's in this story that you and I need to realize is that as this angel was ministering to Elijah, the second time that he comes to him and gives him some more bread and some more water, the angel says something very interesting to Elijah. He says to him, "The journey is too much for you." The journey is too much for you. And you know what? The angel was just speaking the truth to Elijah. And that's why he needed to eat some more and he needed to rest some more, because in his humanity, all that was going on for him right now was just overwhelming him. Beloved, what I want to share with you here today is that sometimes for you and for me, the journey will be too much for you. And if you and I do not have divine intervention of some sort in that moment, you will not finish the journey. And so there are moments in your journey and in my journey where, like Elijah, we're just going to need to take a break and be restored and be refreshed by the mercy of God in whatever way God would have us be restored, that we might even be able to have the grace to finish the journey. And so as the angel has ministered to him, he is strengthened for the journey, and he travels through the same wilderness that the Israelites would travel through for 40 years. He comes to the same mountain where God enters into covenant with Israel on Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments. And he experiences the awesome presence of God afresh, not in an earthquake, not in a mighty wind, not in any mighty kind of way, but God whispers to him. God whispers to him in that undeniable, still, small, sweet, loving voice of God and begins to speak to Elijah and bring healing to his spirit as well. Are you taking time to nourish your body? Wherever you may be right now, whatever you're going through, are you taking time to do that? You know, some of you might be saying today, "Father Joe, why are you even talking about this? I feel like I'm listening to my trainer at the gym or reading this book about physical exercise or diet or whatever. What are you doing talking about this?" Well, the reason why I'm talking about it is that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the way the scripture describes your body and mind. And your body, your physical body, is holy to the Lord. And how you treat that body is going to have a direct impact upon your spiritual life as well. And so I ask you here today, are you getting about 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night? If you are, great. But if you're not, one of the questions I want to ask you is, why isn't that happening? Maybe there's something physically going on. Maybe you've always struggled with getting a good night's sleep. I don't know what it might be, but I would encourage you, if you haven't sought out an answer for that, I would encourage you to do so. Maybe see your doctor. Maybe begin to read up on what a good night's sleep looks like and how you might foster that in your life. It was interesting. We read a book on spiritual disciplines about a year ago. And in that book, one of the first things he said talked about was the discipline of rest. I'd never heard that before. But his point was that one of the greatest things our culture currently suffers from is exhaustion. Well, you know, whenever you talk to people, it's always about all of us, how busy we are. There's so much going on, and we even try to jam more into our schedules. Thank God for our smartphones and our tablets or devices, because we can keep adding to the schedule, and we won't forget what we're doing on Friday morning at 7:30, right? Because it's all there, whether we want to remember it or not. It's just we add and we add, and it's busy, 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 and we're exhausted. God did not create us to be exhausted. He created us to be restored and refreshed and renewed. And if your life and my life is so busy that we are always exhausted, then I believe we're living in sin. And we need to begin to cut back that our lives might be pleasing to the Lord. And so anyways, when I read this book, I usually get about 5 or 6 hours of sleep a night. I thought pretty decent. And given what I read in that book, I said, you know what, I'm going to try to kick in another hour. And over the past year, I've sometimes done that. I've sometimes not. But I have to say, when I do, I've just noticed a huge difference. It's really been a blessing to me. And so I want to encourage you in that. For those especially who think sleep is a waste of time, for those of you who think that when you sleep, you're not getting something done, you're wrong. You're wrong. Actually, the more that you sleep, the more that you'll be able to get done during your waking hours as well. Are you taking time for a healthy diet and exercise? You know, what are you eating? What are you putting into your body? You know, you and I both realize that whatever we eat, whatever we continue to consume, is what we become. It's what we drink as well. All of that stuff affects our makeup and what our bodies become. And also exercise. Are you taking time to work out, getting out and walking around? Maybe you don't run the marathon anymore. Well, you don't have to, but a nice walk around the block or along the beach is a great step in the right direction. And all of it will lead to health for you. Finally, in terms of our health and our bodies and our spirit, what about the negative feelings that are part of your life? And I just want to focus in on one of them today, and that is the feeling of fear. Is fear or anxiety affecting your ability to rest and be restored in your being? Who or what are you afraid of exactly? And why are you afraid of them? Why are you running? Why aren't you sleeping at night? Why are they keeping you up at night? Or why is that situation so absorbing you that you can't get a good night's rest? And why is it when things overall are going well for you? Now think about this. Let's be honest for a moment. I'm going to get a little personal here. Why is it when everything's going well for you, you have to think about something to be anxious about? It's because that's part of who you are, right? It's part of who we are. If we find ourselves constantly coming up with things to worry about, that is something that you and I need to be healed of. We need to be healed of that. Because again, God did not create us to be beings that are full of anxiety and fear. He created us to be full of his peace. That's why when Jesus walked into the upper room where the disciples were, he didn't say, "My anxiety be with you." I want you to be fearful. Fear me. Fear the world. Fear tomorrow. You thought you were anxious? Let me give you something else to worry about. But you see, many of us serve that kind of God. No, he said, "My peace be with you. My peace be with you." And I guess my question for you and me here today is, do you really want that peace? And as you and I commune with the Lord like Elijah did, even at the bottom of the worst times in our life, I invite us to listen to his whispering words. Listen to what he says to us and what he speaks to us. As you read this story in 1 Kings, what God says to Elijah when he is finally renewed and has eaten and has rested, and he hears the presence of God in his whisper, what God says to Elijah is, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Wow. What are you doing here?" Translation, "Elijah, you have no business being here." And so it's important for you and I to listen to the whisper of God, to listen to his voice, and to receive from him what he wants to give us. Take time to nourish your body during this year. Your body is a beautiful temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift from God to you. And whatever shape it may be in right now, you are still breathing. You are still alive. And God has a purpose for you. God has an intention for you in the fullness of his love and his grace and his healing presence.